There's something that always happens to me, and I'm actually wondering if it happens to you, too. My guess is that it does. Whenever I have some time off coming, a long weekend or a week of vacation, a relaxing trip somewhere, the week leading up to it is crazy. And the week coming back, even worse. Does this happen to you as well? My guess is that it does. It might happen less to folks who are retired, but maybe not. Here's how it always seems to go for me. I have everything neatly balanced in my calendar. Things to do, people to meet, little errands to get done before I go away. And then my email inbox floods, the phone starts ringing, people have to meet with me right away, and all of a sudden, a perfectly manageable week turns into one with 12-hour days. And coming back is equally hard. The emails stack up while I'm gone. The voicemail box fills up. People wait expectantly for me to return. It's as if, in my work life, something simply hit the pause button while I was gone, and the minute I return, the play button is pressed again, and off we go. I sometimes wonder if time off is worth all the work to get ready for it and to catch up for it afterwards. But then I remember how vitally important rest, rejuvenation, and play are to me, and I am willing once again to put up with the before and after work to make the time off happen. We are all in need of rest. Some of us chronically in need of it. Whether we are working or retired, we are in need of rest. Whether we are parenting or volunteering or simply caught up in the busyness of our lives, we need time away. Whether we are young or old, children or adults, we need playtime. And whether we are shy or outgoing, single or married, we need solitude and a chance to be alone. We are all in need of rest, and sadly, we live in a world that seems to do everything in its power to keep us from getting it. One of the most shocking aspects for me of moving to the Concord area was to actually see how frenetic the pace is around here. You may not notice it anymore if you've lived around here for a few years, but people are a little nuts around here. Many people get up very early to commute to Boston for work. These people endure hours in their cars or on the train every day. They work a full day and then plunge right back into traffic to get home again. It is no wonder that once they reach their homes at night, they are reluctant to go anywhere else in the evening. And then there are the drivers. People told me about this, but I had no idea. The drivers here are the worst I have ever known. Detroit and Chicago have more aggressive drivers, but the Boston area drivers are distracted, rude, careless, and pushy. The roads are inadequate, poorly signed, and never go anywhere in a straight line. I don't know how you people ever get around here. And then we need to talk about the schedules that people keep, children and adults alike. I have never seen more overscheduled children in my life. I have two teenage boys who are living with their parents in the house next door, and it seems like all this family does is cheerfully go from one sports practice to the next, all day, every day, all week long. And these boys don't even have the pressure of being in the Concord school system. I see mothers rushing children to preschool and to childcare. I see lawn workers maniacally driving around and mowing and then rushing off to the next job. I see people who have filled every evening of every week with some activity. And I know lots of people who work from home in the evenings and on weekends because I am one of them. We are all in need of rest. Some of us chronically in need of it. The pace of our suburban American lifestyle is killing us. I recently read that Americans have now surpassed the Japanese in number of average hours worked per person. This means that no other society on earth requires as much of its people as ours does. We are one stressed out, burned out, hyper-productive group of people. And the odd thing is that we mostly do this to ourselves. We mostly take on all of this voluntarily. Americans are also ranked the worst among developed nations at taking earned time off. Billions of hours of vacation go to waste each year because American workers are too busy to take time off. That's sad. How can any of this be good for us? One of the oldest commandments in the Torah tells the Jewish people, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. You shall not do any work. You, your sons and daughters, your workers and employees, your farm animals, nor anyone living in your towns. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the seventh day and consecrated it." We also know this passage as the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Not that we're doing a whole lot better on the other nine than we are doing on this one, but that's a sermon for another day. But we have the Torah to thank for the concept of a weekend. In biblical times, the notion of taking 1 day out of seven as a no-work day was quite radical. And more, as people work from their homes with hours they set themselves, and as more businesses open early and earlier on weekends, the old concept of the Sabbath is being forgotten. But does that mean that our rest and relaxation are no longer important to God? Just the opposite, I think. The whole point of the Sabbath was to allow people to get in touch with their spiritual lives. It was time set apart, time that was purposefully left empty so that we might study and pray and rest. It was also considered a mitzvah, a good thing, to make love to your partner or spouse on the Sabbath. Well, now there's a goal to aspire to. The Sabbath seems to me the perfect antidote to the breakneck pace of American life. It seems the perfect spiritual discipline for overscheduled people, children, youth, and adults alike. The thing is, you and I are never going to have the rest in our lives that we need unless we make space for it. No one at work or at school or even at church is going to suggest that we do less. Just the opposite. The reason that bosses and teachers and parents pile on more and more and more is that they know that we will take it. And it really isn't their job to know when to stop. That is our job. We are the ones who have to say no to more work and yes to more rest and play. Saying no begins with saying yes to more Sabbath in your life. It begins with saying yes to unstructured time, playful time, and solitary time. Think for a moment of the things that you most like to do. Think of the places that you return to over and over again. Think of the people you most enjoy spending time with. Now feel what it is like to think about those activities, places, and people. Do they put a smile on your face? Do they make you breathe easier? Do they make you long for more? This is the start of Sabbath thinking. This is the start of rest and relaxation. This is what will make space for summer for you this year. There's an old joke that occasionally makes the rounds that asks why some Unitarian Universalist churches are closed in July and August. Of course, you know the answer. It's because God trusts us to take the summer off. That may be true. God is fairly trusting. But do we trust ourselves enough to take the summer off? That is the real question. Or have we gotten to such a place of exhaustion by the end of June that the only way we can ward off our growing resentment toward church and all of its busyness is to simply avoid it for 2 months? Are we so fed up with church life that we just have to take a break? Now, I'm not going to lay any kind of guilt trip on you to try and get you to come to more summer services this summer at First Parish. I am smarter than that. If taking the summer off from church is what is good for you, then that is exactly what you should do. I will be here some Sundays and some in the summer, and some I won't be here. Like you, I have some trips planned and some home projects to do. Like you, I need to be able to enjoy the slower pace of summer for a couple of months. But I do wonder what changes we might make next year to be less depleted when summer comes around again. Less tired, less fed up with church work, less desperate for some time away. And how would that change how we each looked at First Parish summer services next year? It will come as no surprise that First Parish in Concord falls on the high end of the ambition scale. One might even call First Parish a type A church. And mostly this ambition is a very good thing. I wouldn't have it any other way, really. Our church building is a community center in Concord. Our members reach thousands of people during the year with our programs. We are the source of great support and nurture and love for our own members and for our children. We make art and music and food together. The church is open and full of activity almost every night of the week. At First Parish, we do a lot, and we need to find more time for rest and rejuvenation. We need to build more Sabbath into our weeks. As a congregation, we likely need to do less, go slower, and be happier with imperfection if we are going to reap the spiritual benefits that we say we seek. If we are continually lost in the busyness of church life, we will miss out on the chance to grow a soul that is calm and centered, well-rested and open. This, I'm telling you, will take considerable time. I'm always surprised how long it takes me to settle into a solo camping trip. I always think that I'll be able to click in much more quickly than I am able to. The first couple days of a trip, like I described to the children, are filled with all the busyness that you can imagine a camping trip might have. You got to get to the campsite, and you got to set up camp, and you have to explore the area a little bit, maybe gather some firewood, those kinds of things. The third day on any camping trip, I start to miss all the conveniences of home. My TV and fridge, my stove and my bed, and my shower, most especially. It is only by the fourth day of being all alone, with nothing to do but read or paddle on the lake, that I begin to hear the still small voice inside. For months, this voice has been drowned out by the busyness of life. Only after 4 or 5 days does my monkey mind stop its chatter, and I can stop dwelling on the past and on the future. And on days 6 and 7 and 8, I have really arrived at a spiritual place, a place of calm introspection, not buffeted by my own insecurities or my cravings. It is only by completely stopping the humdrum of daily existence that I can get to that place. Sabbath is going to look different for each of us. Rest and relaxation take many forms. Play comes in many ways. But to be balanced human beings, we must seek out the Sabbath. We must make space for summer. We must be patient with ourselves and with others. So I'll see you in church this summer, or not. Either way, get the rest you need, and let's be more gentle on each other next year. So be it. Amen.